Thank you. Thank you. Failed to schedule stream on some destinations. I think we are live. Yeah, we're on the parade. Huh, it's been a while. Good to be live streaming again. So today, I want to introduce you to L. Kersey of EK. Take that down, and let me tell you a little bit about L. Kersey before I bring her up here. So, L. Kersey, a master in community and customer engagement in a world where connections matter more than ever, they really do, L. Kersey has made it her mission to help businesses build communities that thrive. As the founder of EK Media Broadcast Network, Lux Matter Incorporated, and a seasoned marketing innovator, Elle brings over 25 years of experience in marketing, customer engagement, and digital strategy. She has mastered the art of meeting customers where they are, leveraging cutting-edge digital tools, crafting personalized experiences, and strong relationships that drive long-term success. Her expertise spans industries. That's true. You're going to find out why or how in a minute. Helping businesses of all sizes create communities, engage, inspire, and endure. So in this exclusive session, this introductory interview with L. Kersey, L. will share how to create inclusive and personalized community experiences, proven strategies for enhancing engagement and retention, the power of listening to your audience, adapting in real time, practical tips for building lasting connections that fuel business growth. So, after all of that, let me bring up L. Kersey.
Dang, girl. I should
need
to pay you more money for that.
It's an honor to have you back on the Talk Brunch live stream show. I know it's been a minute. So, yeah. How's your day been so far?
And I've been amazing today.
Right. If you guys don't remember Elle from any of the past live shows, I got to tell you, she works all the time. There's not a day I haven't seen or heard from her where she is not working. It's good to catch her and be able to talk to her live. So, I think I've already said this, but let's welcome L. Kersey. If I had my soundboard, I would have been like,
wow, Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate being here.
All right. Let's jump in. Let me start with this first question. How to create a personalized and inclusive community experience that resonates. One of my favorite things about you is that when you host events, I know they're like really inclusive. So people got to know you to get in. And when you, outside looking in, when I see you with your community, you've built them through being exclusive. So please share more.
Well, most of the events that we host are for specific things. I feel like when you take the time to understand what the purpose of your event is, then you kind of automatically know who you want to, who should be there. You know, you want to be able to make connections yourself. You want the people who attend to be able to make connections. You want it to be relevant and not uncomfortable.
So, what's the point of being there? Who you meet when you're there? And I've already said purpose. So, yeah, that does make sense. You don't want to hang out with people that's not going to move forward. And if you can't help them, they can't help you. There's not really a thing in there. So I think I understand that.
Yeah, I try really hard to, not do things just for the sake of doing them. You know, it's just, I don't want to waste my time and I don't want to waste other people's time. You know, I don't want to have a bunch of startups with a bunch of seasoned people unless the purpose is to, help the new businesses to grow and expand in some way. You know, you want to be able to have people who are on similar trajectories in the room.
I definitely understand that. It's like I had a group where virtual event producers came together, shout out a virtual summit peer group. I did have, before I knew I was supposed to bet, I did have a couple people in there that told me that they'll never, ever host a virtual event. And I'm like, why are you here? And like, it's fun to hang out. And I'm like, it'd be nice if you could contribute to the group. But now I know you're supposed to bet people.
Yes. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just, first of all, the people who are never going to host an event really take up space when they should be in a different group. It's just that the people that in the summer series is awesome, so they just want to
be that. Okay, next question. Proven techniques for leveraging digital tools to enhance engagement and retention. So in the virtual summiteers, we all talk about our SaaS tools, digital tools, things that get us hype and get us going. And my personal favorite is automation. Can you tell us some of your tools you use for community or if you use any at all?
I use a lot of video tools, whether they are like now, like in person, same time, or if they are those kinds where you send somebody a link and they make you a video and then you respond to the video, you know, that kind of thing, and then it's all recorded. I like to have people be comfortable in what they use. So we also do a lot of writing. Give people a lot of chances to write things like testimonials or ask questions or things like that. So we use a lot of email, I guess, is a thing. And then forms. We use a lot of Google Forms.
I do enjoy your video testimonial the happiness that I see that you brought people, you see that glow of happiness. So you can't really forget that from the written testimonial. That's why I really love that the video testimony.
Yeah, I like that as well. I never get to be, until recently, I never watched the videos, right? I just felt like, you know, I had already done the work, and I'm working on the next person, so I'm excited, you know, I'm glad to see that people sent testimonials, because a lot of our testimonials were impromptu. There were a few that we did, like what we did for the USFL, that were produced, but most of them were at the end of a treatment or at the end of a game or people send it in on their own, you know. So my team used to get them. They knew, but I didn't. And when I saw them, I was crying a few times because I had no idea that not only were we impacting their game, but we were also impacting their lives. And I think that was the most poignant thing for me. So by watching those videos and understanding really the relevance and the impact caused me to change direction a little bit. Because, again, it's that getting to know your audience and giving them what they need. And a lot of times people don't know what they need until they get it. So,
Nosy, I got to ask. I've heard that testimonials really don't do anything for the business. Is that true? Have you found that to be true for your business? Is it something I should be looking into and be doing more of? Do I need to ask for more testimonials?
I think that testimonial kind of thing, I'm not understanding how to explain that. Testimonials don't give But you know when you first start out in marketing, and they're like, you need testimonials so that people can see that you have history or whatever. And that's not really what testimonials are for, in my opinion. Testimonials are for people to connect with the stories of the people that are telling the stories. And when you see yourself in somebody's story, then you're like, well, maybe this can help me too. So it's a way to give people hope, especially in this business, right? So, you know, people don't really get to me until they have suffered for pretty much a really long time. I mean, now it's a little different because we have the testimonials, right? Which is kind of funny, but people are constantly looking at our testimonials and seeing someone who had a similar situation, say a torn ACL, and ACL is simply not allowing them to move forward. You know, the scar tissue is so bad and the pain is so out of control and nothing that they've been doing is working and they've gone to extremes to try to recover and it hasn't helped. And then they see somebody who did the same thing and then that person was helping back on the field or in the game and they're happy. Then that gives them hope that it can happen for them too. So then they show up at my door and we help them and then yes, they get happy.
Oh, that what Helen is talking about is her business looks maverick. So she does more than one thing. So if injured, he can help you through, I can't remember what it's called now.
The Maverick Method?
The Maverick Method and
Microcurrent Electrical Therapy.
Yes. She uses the microcurrent therapy. She's developed her own technique called the Maverick Method. Is that right?
Yes.
Right. So, besides that, the other business she has is Ikemia, where she does graphics. She calls herself graphic. She does coding. She calls herself coding. So, I have somebody teaching me HTML. I can't stand hypertext markup language now. The language I know, and my husband tells me, you know, there's more than one coding language. You don't have to stick with HTML. And I'm like, yeah. What, may I ask, what's your favorite language?
Oh, wait. I don't know if I have a favorite one. Just the one that's needed for the job is my favorite one at the moment. I do like HTML5. I do. It's not like regular HTML exactly, because you get all the little cheap snippets and stuff. So it's not as complicated as you having to start from scratch. So you might like that a little better.
I tried it a really long while. When I first learned it, I think it was like 2000. So it's been a whole 25 years now.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, and there was no, I'm dyslexic. It spell, and when I tried to put something in there and it wasn't spelled right, it wouldn't work. And I didn't have any spell check to help me. So it was horrible.
Yeah, I mean, coding can be a challenge if you're dyslexic, for sure. Mine kicks in when I'm super tired. So, you know, I understand, but, you know, it's all about being focused on the details. I think that every skill that I've learned over the years has built on other things. You know, being able to focus on coding language and making sure that every little single character is correct in the right space and you got enough spaces and all that kind of stuff just kind of leads to everything else. You know, it really has made a big difference in a lot of things. I find myself not necessarily using coding as every day, but I use the skills that I learned from learning to code. You know, I'll say this for all of my techie people, quote, Steve is your friend.
I believe that. That's a true statement right there.
Yes. So, yeah.
All right, next question. The importance of listening to your audience and adapting to their needs in real time. So, I've been told from a fellow virtual summiteer, it's not, they come to the meetings because of what the group has talked about. They come to the meetings because of something I have put together. So do you crowdsource your events? Do you crowdsource any meetings you put together? Or do you just do your own thing and people come there because it's you?
Combination. People come because it's me and they know that I've taken the time to put the details together and I am bringing value. You know, whether it's I'm giving you an opportunity to donate to something that you would definitely love, or you're able to connect with different people that can help your brand, that you can help their brand, you know, different opportunities to just grow. Or just people that I think that will like each other. You know, that's just the thing, right? So not not everything's about the financial exchange. It's the altruistic things as well. So I really focus on, again, not doing events that don't that doesn't have a purpose.
Yeah, I've met so many cool, brilliant people through hanging out with Elle, going to her events. She threw a birthday party for her boyfriend, Phil, and it was so cool because I got to meet people that I never would have met if I didn't attend this party. She hosted when we're doing jewelry. Now, I don't know if you know this, if I've told you lately, you are still my jewelry maker. That last party you hosted when you made jewelry, I got to meet so many cool people. You events online, me getting to help you, meet people that way. It's like, I don't know, it's great to know people that know people. It's good to have friends, and it's good to meet people through people, know what they're doing, what they want of, what they're doing. So, yeah.
For sure.
It's like you're a connector. I'll say that.
Maybe, I don't know. I gotta think about that some more. I don't know about being a connector. But lately, I have been just some connecting, so a little bit. I agree.
But going back to the beginning, you hosting exclusive events. People don't get in unless they know you. So I get to meet people because I know you tell me you don't like to meet people, but when you do meet people, I get to meet people. So yeah. Works out for me. One more. Let's see. Practical tips for maintaining lasting connections that lead to business success. So, since I know you, I happen to know, in my personal opinion, that you go to a church that's more like a business connection. That's how I see it outside looking in. So, tell us about
Thank you.